Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do that. So we've got a number of things. First of all, President Trump said yesterday that U.S. authorities would begin next week removing, just saying what he said, removing millions of illegal immigrants who are in the United States. They will be starting next week. I would suspect that the Democrats would go along with that. Here's a clip that might verify that the Democrats would go along with that.
1 year ago this month, senators of both parties, with support from the business community, labor, law enforcement, faith communities, came together to pass a common sense immigration bill. Independent experts said that bill would strengthen our borders, grow our economy, shrink our deficits. As we speak, there are enough Republicans and Democrats in the House to pass an immigration bill today. I would sign it into law today. And Washington would solve a problem in a bipartisan way. But for more than a year, Republicans in the House of Representatives have refused to allow an up or down vote on that Senate bill or any legislation to fix our broken immigration system. And I held off on pressuring them for a long time to give Speaker Boehner the space he needed to get his fellow Republicans on board. Meanwhile, here's what a year of obstruction has meant. It's meant fewer resources to strengthen our borders. It's meant more businesses free to game the system by hiring undocumented workers, which punishes businesses that play by the rules and drives down wages for hardworking Americans.
So obviously the Democrats know a little bit about doing nothing, right, on immigration. Now, President Obama was all about trying to do something on immigration. It was all about boosting the economy through securing our border, protecting against the hiring of illegal immigrants. He actually used the word illegal. Do you believe it? A Democrat used the word illegal. Yeah, he actually did. You heard it. Pretty amazing. Now we've got Democrats doing nothing to secure our borders, to protect Americans, when obviously there was a sentiment back when President Obama was president that we ought to do that. Somehow that's gone away. Is it because President Trump wants to do it this time instead of President Obama? Yeah, that would be the reason. Pretty amazing. Oh, man. 844-707-5533. I found that clip because I was looking for clips, and I found an article that indicate that just before the inauguration of President Trump, that the White House deleted, White House staffers, deleted all the video clips on immigration. That was a clip still hanging out there on YouTube. Once it gets there, hard to get rid of, but nonetheless. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it is amazing. Hey, President Trump, just 28 minutes ago, sent out a tweet. Would have a lot to do with why the markets are where they are. We're coming to our ag report, though. I'll hold off on that tweet. But it is doesn't take much to do anything. And I tell you, I said this morning to somebody, I was doing an early morning interview on a radio station out on the West Coast. So it was the middle of the night out there for all practical purposes. But, you know, indicating what is going on here, we're talking about immigration and what is happening. And got on to China and what is going on with the fact that there is no trade deal. And is that hurting the economy? Yes, it's hurting sentiment. I don't want to say it's hurting the economy. Obviously, sentiment going bad will hurt the economy. And it's hurting business sentiment. And I said on, you'll see this week, tonight, I said on CBN News that, look, this the G Summit meeting next week in Japan is going to be more like trying to come up with a truce instead of a trade deal. That's how bad all of this is going. All right, here's our ag report. So important. Here's Craig Haugard. Then we'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn continues to be driven by weather fears in the Corn Belt. After hitting new life of contract highs in most months yesterday, prices retreated midday on a bout of profit-taking and some technical selling. After the close, the weekly crop progress report indicated that 92% of the corn crop is now planted. That means that about 7.4 million acres are still not planted, and as late in the season as we are, I don't think I'm going too far out on the limb to suggest that they probably won't get planted this year. 79% of the corn crop has now emerged, and that lags the five-year average of 97%. 59% of the crop is rated as good to excellent, which again lags the five-year average, which is normally at 73% at this point on the calendar. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading down a nickel. Soybean prices drew support from adverse weather conditions over the weekend, with more rains forecast for this week. And while the world is focused on weather and the potential supply issues, it is worth noting that Monday's main NOPA crush report was disappointing. It shows that as a nation, we crushed 154.8 million bushels of soybeans in May. That was well below the trade expectation of 162.5 million bushels. This marks the third straight month in which we've lagged the year earlier monthly crush rate. Now, the weekly crop progress report continues to feed the bulls, with the report now showing 77% of the crop planted. And that leaves 19.5 million acres still left unplanted, and we're quickly running out of time. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 2 cents as I record this. The wheat market traded higher as weather concerns continue to strengthen U.S. wheat prices. Winter wheat harvest is slow going from all the rain and saturated fields. Early reports of protein are said to be in that 10 to 11% range, with early yield reports coming in anywhere from 30 to 50 bushels per acre. The weekly crop progress report shows 89% of the winter wheat crop headed, with 8% harvested. The 5% average would be for 20% of that crop to now be harvested as we continue to see the negative impact of those tough weather conditions resulting in a slower harvest pace. Spring wheat is 95% emerged with 2% of the crop headed. That crop is a bit late as well, with the 5-year average being 12% headed by now. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are each down 6 cents, while Minneapolis is down 2. Cotton had a mixed session with old crop July futures down 31 points at 65.63, while new crop December futures finished the day up 67 points. After the close, the crop progress report indicated that 89% of the crop is planted, with 19% squaring. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading 35 points lower. The livestock market enjoyed a good day, with prices higher straight across the board. August live cattle finished the session up $1.35, while August feeder cattle closed $1.40 higher for the day. Lean hog futures were stronger as well, with August finishing the session $1.62.5 higher. Class 3 milk futures took a slight setback, with July futures settling down 4 points as they closed at $16.81. And the overnight trade spot futures are trading down an additional 4 points as I record this. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 41 cents lower, to settle at $221.82, while selects were down 25 cents for the day, settling at $202.51. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 24 cents lower as they settle at $82.97. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The open opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. So President Trump, a few minutes, a half an hour or so ago, put out a tweet. You'll find it if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter. You'll see my retweet of it. He said this. Had a very good telephone conversation with President Xi of China. We will be having extended meeting next week at the G20 meeting in Japan. Our respective teams will begin talks prior to our meeting. He said that, and the Dow went up 1.3% almost immediately following that tweet. When I sent the retweet out, I said, let's stop worrying about the Fed cutting rates and let's get on the Commerce Department to cut a deal on trade somewhere in the world. Doesn't matter where. Somewhere. Can we just cut a trade deal? But you can see how the markets are hanging on this. It's not because, listen. This is important to note. It's not because markets are going, companies that make up indices are immediately going to have this windfall of money. That's not why. None of the trade deals are going to mean any of that. What it means is that business sentiment is going to get better. And the uncertainty of trade wars escalating is off the table. That's the reason. It's not because, what do you think, all of the S&P 500 is worried about China? Not by any stretch of the imagination. It's not that. It's getting rid of the uncertainty. It's getting rid of, right now, we have business leaders who are sitting back saying, we're toast. We're going to be in a trade war. We're criticizing the ECB. We're criticizing Europe. We're criticizing Japan. We're criticizing China. What do we have left? Canada. We're criticizing Canada. We almost had tariffs on Mexico. My word, this is... It's spiraling out of control. Just saying, whether it was or not, that was the appearance. That's what everybody was beginning to get concerned about. And it brought markets to a screeching halt and started to bring concern in, started to put negative spin, negative feelings on sentiment of the business community, which is the worst thing that could happen, second only to consumer sentiment going in the tank. And unfortunately, the only thing that saved us to this date is consumer sentiment has stayed very high. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Rob. Rob's calling us about from Arkansas. Hey, Rob.
How's it going, preacher?
Good. don't do that. It scares me.
Well, I was just listening to you talk about the economy there and everything. Man, the words coming out of your mouth, my brother.
Oh,
all right. So I want to get back on this SSI because I just caught the tail end of that interview that you had with that gentleman. I don't know who it was you were speaking to. Can you refresh my memory?
You mean that little piece of news thing? That was a guy here in the studio. One of our guys.
Oh, that's one of your helpers. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the one of our guys here on the news side that was reporting that.
Okay, so what I wanted to quote about, and I'm probably recording you, is about entitlement. If I'm not incorrect about this. It's kind of similar to 401k, where you're putting money into an account, and the employer is backing you up, and that's exactly what the government is saying about entitlement. Is they're saying that they're going to back you up. Am I understanding that?
Yes.
Correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So that America, that's not true. Okay. Listen, Dan, that's not true. It's not an entitlement. We all agree that, and we need to get our faces together and get the prayers together and everything. Because what I'm also seeing, Dan, is that I paid, you know, Social Security for 37 years.
Yeah.
And I'm only seeing less than a 25% return.
Yes.
When I go to retire.
Right. Right.
And I'm also doing, I just did a calculation last week. If I retire at 62, which I'm about 9 years away from that, I'm only going to get $1,300 a week. Mm-hmm. I believe that by the time I hit 62, that $1,300 or $1,300 a month is not going to be there. Mm-hmm. Case in point, if I retire at 67, it goes up to $2,800, but these are all just simulative calculations, okay?
Yeah.
And it's what you can find on the government website, and it's not always true, because they want more information from you, and I just won't give it to them. Mm-hmm. Lastly, life expectancy of retirement for SSI, I believe the government is figuring that people are only going to last until about 82, and that's what they're basing their principal amount on for what people are going to get for Social Security. Is that somewhat correct?
Somewhat, yeah. It's a little higher than 82, but yeah, you're right. Yep.
Okay. You know, we just need to get it together, because that's the one thing I'm afraid of. I'm perturbed that I've paid so much money of Social Security over the last 37 years that now my eyes are open, and that's why we have to do things for ourselves, so that in the event that the dollar shrinks from the Social Security, that we've got to have ourselves backed up in what we're investing into.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's critically important that we do that. Yeah, critically important. Yeah. So,
well, I just wanted to throw my opinion at you.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got to back up. Although I say, and have said for a very long time, Social Security is not going to go away, because it's the third rail of politics. But is it going to change? Sure, it's going to change. It continues to change, and it's going to evolve. I also say and believe that it's the easiest thing in Washington to fix. The problem is, no, because, again, I go back, it's the third rail of politics. So you don't have politicians that want to, they don't want anything to do with it. They just want to leave it. See, the deal is, when it fails, then the politicians can come in and be a savior to Social Security. Instead of fixing it now, making it stronger and better, they'll wait until it fails, because they won't lose any votes by coming in after it fails and fix it, but they could lose a vote if they fix it right now. So it is definitely a problem. And one of the things that, you know, we have got to be aware. Yes, it's not an entitlement program. It's the government is guaranteeing the back of it. But I will say this, when you look at those calculations on Social Security, you can all do what you want to do, but my wife and I, neither one of us are going to collect until we're 70. Now, we're able to do it. If you're not, you're not, you shouldn't. But if you're going to continue to work, it's like so many people are doing now, going to wait until you're 70, because I'm getting 32% more money by waiting until I'm 70. That's a huge difference. And by the way, those calculations that the Social Security gives you, they usually go up, not down, unless you feel as though, or you feel relatively certain that they're, you know, it's going to go away, you know, and it is going to go down. But remember, it is an average of your years worked. So if you are working 10 more years, and it is likely that over that 10 years, you're going to be making more money 10 years from now than you're making right now, then that average is going to continue to rise. And as that average continues to rise, then, you know, that means you become more and more you become more eligible for a higher amount. And that's generally what happens. So I would, you know, the one of the things that we have to do, like Rob says, we've got to be saving, we've got to be guaranteeing, we've got to be protecting ourselves. We got to do it early, and we got to do as much as we can. We should all be protecting ourselves in any way we can. I talked to a guy last week. He had like $100,000 in his HSA account. He's been putting money in his HSA account all these years. He wanted to ask if it was like an IRA. Yes, it is. It's basically an IRA. So, you know, all of that is critically important as we save those pieces of what we're getting. And some of those things is free money. Maybe you're getting a tiny bit of your HSA contribution from your employer. Maybe you're getting a little bit into your IRA from your employer. Maybe you're getting a little bit in your 401k, whatever it might be. You've got to add to it. You've got to save. You've got to continue to do what you can do over and above whatever it is you're doing now. We've got to look at where we can cut expenses to do it now. Because right now, so many of you are in the position of earning money. And I say this all the time, the greatest asset you have is your ability to work, your ability to earn income. When you give up your greatest asset, you better be ready. And you aren't going, you have to understand that the earlier you retire, the harder it is going to be for you to survive adequately 30 years from then. And that's what you should be thinking of, because the money you have been saving has to work all that much harder, because maybe it's got to start working, you know, for 10 extra years. That you're 5 extra years, 3 extra years, whatever it is, then you have that you're not working. So, you know, work as long as you can, or move to a job at retirement that can pay your expenses doing something you really want to do and love and will continue to do. It's critically important, not to mention, we have a whole different attitude about the workforce right now. We have a whole different attitude from employers that now are actually seeking out those 55 and older employees. Boy, there's a turnaround for you. All right, we're going to get back to phones, 844-707-5533. We'll go back to phones right after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. The Dow is up 1.3%, 1.22%, down a little bit, all on the news that President Trump had a good phone call with President Xi. Look, I know and I get mad because it's irrational, but you know, we talk about what the Federal Reserve needs to do. We start comparing. I hope this president doesn't drink the same Kool-Aid that all of Congress has been drinking for the last 15, 20 years. And that is, we are comparable to some other nation, whether it be Germany, whether it be the Eurozone, whether it be China, whether it be Japan, any of those. Even Mario Draghi this morning in his press conference said, we export more goods to each other and more goods than we do anything else. They're not relying on consumer spending. We are an economy that is very different. We are a consumer-driven economy. The moment we start comparing ourselves to everybody else, we draw the same conclusions that all of Congress has drawn, the conclusion that our debt doesn't mean anything. Well, look at China. I mean, they have, you know, 600 times GDP growth in debt. Japan is 450 times. I mean, look at us. We're in great shape. No, they're export nations. See, look, and I say this to the administration. devaluating our currency will never, ever, 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 I hope, have the same impact for America as it does a nation that is primarily built an economy around exports. It's never going to have the same impact on us. It's only going to hurt us. We have an economy that is based on 71% of our economy, based on people buying stuff right here in America. That's what it's based on. Why do we want to trash our dollar? We don't want to do that. We don't want to trash our currency. We don't want to risk inflation coming in. Why would we want to do that? We are not China, Japan, Germany, or any of those other countries. It's just wrong from an economic perspective to be trying to compare America to China or any other country that we might accuse of manipulating their currency. We don't have any reason to manipulate our currency. We are the currency of the world. Where you think China owns $1 trillion of our debt because our currency is junk? No. They own it because it's one of the most, second only to maybe Switzerland, the strongest currency in the world with a stable economy and a stable government. It doesn't get any better than America. If you are in Japan and you've got to do something with your money and you don't want to take negative interest rates and you want stability, you're coming to America. We don't want to change that. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tim. Tim's calling us from Florida. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Thank God for your ministry.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I've been a partner for about 6 months now, and I'm 52 years old. I have a little bit over $400,000 in a traditional IRA.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to you talk about the Roth IRA. Is it a good idea for me to start moving this money into a Roth, or should I stay where I'm at?
I would move some of the money into a Roth as you are willing to pay the tax on it. But I think you should have a Roth IRA. You need to open one if you don't have one, and start gradually moving some money over to it and establishing those deposits. You can put $7,000 over, well, not roll over. You can put any amount. You can roll over any. But you can contribute $7,000 to a Roth. But, yeah, I think you should. I think it would make good sense to, if you started now at 52, by the time you're 70, you could potentially have half of that money moved. And I think that would serve you very well. You won't be responsible to take a minimum required distribution out of it. You won't have to pay tax on any money that you draw out of that. You can pass that money on to your heirs if you wanted to without any tax. There's so many benefits to it that I think it would make sense to do it. The downside, of course, to that is that you've got to pay your tax on it. But you're going to be paying your tax on it in present dollars. And I would suspect that God forbid we should ever have the Socialist Party rule America. But if that were to happen, the odds of us being in a lower tax bracket than we are in now is slim to none, almost no matter who's in there. Chances are our tax bracket's going to be higher. So I think you'd actually be saving some dollars in the long run now.
I'm with Fidelity. Would that be a fairly easy transition to maybe move some from the traditional into the IRA?
Yeah, it would be Roth. Yes, it would be very easy. You would just go to Fidelity, open a Roth account. You don't need to put any money into it. We're going to open that Roth account, and then you would just through the internet or on your computer or on a phone, you could just make a call and say, hey, can you move $1,000 over to my Roth? And they can do that real easy. So that would be the best place and the most logical place for you to set that Roth up.
And then at the end of the year, they will just send me a tax bill, what taxes I need to pay on what I transferred over?
Correct. You'll get a 1099 from Fidelity, from your traditional IRA at Fidelity.
Thank you so much, Dan, and God bless you.
You're welcome, Tim. God bless you. Thank you for your support, your partnership. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let's take a look. One of the things that I wanted to do is get a look at commodities. And I'll look at it at the top of the next hour. We'll see what oil is doing. I'm curious to see how we're holding up there as far as oil goes. But right now, the indices up 1.25. So we're making up some serious ground here this morning if it can hold. So hopefully it will. Hopefully we'll see that hold. That would be great if it does. So we'll see. But all of this on maybe some idea that we could see a little bit of change in the tone. That's all I want to see. I just want to see this whole tit for tat and, you know, you do this and I'm going to do that and you did that, so I'm going to do this, and this whole back and forth and this whole attitude of anger and all that. It's just got to stop. When it comes to trade, we got to get things going. I would really like to see solidifying U.S. CMA, you know, the trade deal, the North American trade agreement, or the replacement of the North American trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. Apparently, from what I read yesterday, that it's all done, it's all set, and it's ready for passage. You know the Congress is not going to pass it. And it is, we are going to have to start somehow, by way of executive order, be able to continue trade without any tariffs, continue trade in a way that meets the agreement of the deal without formally having the agreement signed. That would be good for Canada especially, and it would be good for Mexico, and it would be good for us. So we have an ongoing trade agreement that we are working on. There's no reason why we can't implement these trade deals that we've agreed upon now, but we have to do that without passage of the bill, because the House of Representatives is not going to approve this bill. It's not going to happen. So we need to take a long, hard look at all of that. So hopefully that will happen and we can move on. Let's get to the Eurozone before we mess things up. I mean, can Mr. President, can you sit down with Wilbur Ross and just say, hey, Wilbur, get this done? I mean, can you just say, let's talk to Germany. Let's talk to France if they'll talk to us. If not, that's fine. Move over to Italy. We'll take nation by nation by nation. That's what we have to do. Germany's already said they would do that. We haven't taken them up on it. I think it's criminal that we haven't taken them up on it. It's just pathetic. We need to do that. All right, 844-707. 5533 Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We're going to go back to phones. Also, put your comments up on Facebook. Where are you, Facebook? Or on the website, financialissues.org. Put your comments up. We'll get to those right after this.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
All right, folks, your oil stocks are jumping this morning. Two things, and significantly, by the way, I have one of my foundational oil stocks jumping significantly. I put an oil stock on the sell list due to some debt concerns. That's jumping significantly. Oil is up over 3%, crude oil, today up over 3%. That is a significant one-day move. Brent crude oil up 1.77. So Russia came out, set a new date. I don't know why Russia's doing it. But Russia came out and said, okay, they agree to meet, I think it's that first week of July. So OPEC is going to have a meeting first week of July. OPEC, Saudi Arabia oil minister came out yesterday and said, hey, look, we need to get talking again about production cuts. We may have to increase production cuts on oil. So they're talking about that. I mean, they're trying to get to $80 a barrel. They're sitting at 62. So they got to do something. So we're seeing with the idea that oil production could be getting cut. We're looking at trade changing possibly with China. Listen, this is going to be a really good thing for oil stocks if China, if we get a deal sooner rather than later with China. Problem with all of that is, of course, is it's going to hurt us at the pump. We got to give something up, and unfortunately, it's going to be at the pump. Now, maybe production being what it is and us ramping up production, we can try to maintain a certain level of gasoline prices. That would be wonderful. The national average of gasoline could stay somewhere in the neighborhood of where it is right now without impacting that too much, but yet get the benefit of the increase in oil stock. So I don't know. I mean, that certainly is a possibility. But right now, we're looking at all the oil stocks, both West Texas Intermediate, up over 3%, and crude from Brent crude oil is up almost 2%. So that's a fairly big jump, continues to rise. West Texas Intermediate up even a little bit further. July gasoline, unfortunately, is up 1.56. So that doesn't mean that gasoline prices are going up that much next month. It just is. That's the futures market. So it doesn't mean anything. We'll see what happens at the pump. We can't go by that. Nat gas prices are actually down 1%. Gold is up. That's kind of odd since the dollar is stronger, but it is what it is. So gold prices are up about 1/8 of 1%. We're looking at silver up just over 0.5%. Copper has been getting clobbered, but on this news of U.S.-China trade possibly talking again, China is looking at about a 2%, or copper looking at a 2% increase right now on copper. All the industrial metals up. Look, all these commodity numbers are going to just keep getting better if we can start talking about trade. Forget about the Federal Reserve. Who cares? They cut points, they raise points, whatever. It's irrelevant. Should be irrelevant. I've been saying this for years. We shouldn't even know the name of the Fed chair. We shouldn't even know his name. I mean, in other words, shouldn't be in the news. Shouldn't be talking about it. So this is far more important, as the markets are indicating right now. 844-707-5533. So Kevin McCarthy's coming out talking about, we're going to talk about that at the top of the next hour, what Kevin McCarthy is saying. Very, very interesting stuff. We've got another tweet coming out from where? Was that from Trump? Oh, okay. From something else from Kevin McCarthy. So we're going to look at those things. He is the minority leader of the House of Representatives. By the way, he will be the Speaker of the House if Republicans gain control a year from November. Anyway, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Nelson. Nelson's calling us from Mississippi. Hey, Nelson.
Morning, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
kind of a clarification.
Okay.
Previous caller, you were talking about a Roth and transferring stuff and everything. You said something about rolling over stuff into your Roth, and you talk like it wouldn't affect what do they call that, your contribution? Did I understand that right?
Yeah. A rollover is different. Any rollover of any IRA is different.
Okay, what if it's not an IRA? What if it's just rolling over
from a
standard account?
Oh, yeah. Well, then it's you can't do it. Then it's a contribution.
Okay. Well, I was thinking what I'd done earlier, combined some stock earlier this year. And I didn't think it counted towards my contribution when I rolled it over into it, because I already had existing stock of that company.
But you didn't roll it over. You actually made a contribution, because rollover only refers to qualified plans, IRAs.
Okay.
So basically, if you used your brokerage account and you took some stock from your brokerage account or whatever it was and put it into your Roth, that was a contribution that you made.
I didn't think it deducted or, you know, took it off total.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean your total allowable contribution?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yeah. If it's not a qualified money, then that is considered a contribution.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well, I needed that clarified.
Okay. Thanks, Nelson. All right.
Thank you.
844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We use that word rollover all the time about everything. And a lot of it is, you know, not just my fault, but the fault of the media and everybody else that talks about these things. We always use that term because so much of the time, remember, you know, the vast majority of the wealth of the nation here is in IRA accounts, to all in qualified money. All of the wealth of America is in qualified money. So, you know, the vast majority of the time when you're talking about moving money, oftentimes people are talking about that from a, you know, a retirement perspective. If somebody says to me rollover, I immediately think qualified money. I immediately think qualified money. So you don't roll over, like you can't roll over money from an IRA to a charitable gift annuity. It's not a rollover. It's a contribution. It means you are withdrawing money from your IRA and you're putting it over into this other thing called a charitable gift annuity. If you can't roll over out of your brokerage account, your standard investment account, you're not rolling any, you can't roll that. It's not, you know, it's just an investment account. It's savings. It's money that you've been building up in an investment account. When you move some of that money, you are technically, you're withdrawing, even though it may be a broker to broker exchange, you're withdrawing it from the investment account. And you're contributing it to your IRA account, whatever that IRA account might be. So you need to be conscious of that, obviously. All right, let me go to Todd. Todd calling from Virginia. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Dan, Celia. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Todd.
Man, it's always a blessing to talk to you. I'm that teacher that normally calls in from Richland Public Schools.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Dan, I got a question, and it's really bothering me.
Okay.
Oftentimes, my philosophy on the economic situation in this country is it's not flawed to me, but it's flawed to my fellow African Americans. And they would oftentimes say that I am a turncoat, or I'm not thinking straight, or I just don't know what I'm talking about, because I believe in the economic system for the unemployment rate. So this president, I do favor, because the unemployment rate is so low.
Yes.
And that gives the black man a chance to have a job.
Yes.
We all know the joke. The joke says, what's the one thing a black man cannot get, Dan? A job. Everybody knows that's the joke.
Yeah.
So this man has allowed black folks to work.
Yes.
So why not support him? Why not keep him in the White House? Why not let him have another 4 years? Tell me the answer if I'm wrong, Dan.
No, please. You're not wrong, Todd. You're hitting the nail right on the head, and it's why I said I was talking about this, I think, yesterday or Friday. I don't remember, but I said, I think it was yesterday, I was talking about how the liberals are going nuts because President Trump is beginning to gain support from all the minority communities, the blacks, the Hispanics, the Asian communities. He's gaining support. Why? Because they're living in the very communities that you can actually look around and say, man, so many people have jobs now. You know, they're looking around. They're actually seeing it. I mean, we're looking at that youth of the black community, the youth unemployment rate at record lows in the history of the nation. Think about that. And so it's got to be, I don't know, but it's got to be visible, you know, a visible thing in those communities. It has to be visible. And I think that people are attributing that to President Trump. I hope they are. They're coming over. Yep.
Dan, I teach at a very impoverished community. We're very urban, and our budget is always under constraint. And these young folks, they have opportunities because they have great homes, but they come from a social economic situation.
Yes.
Push them
yes.
in a depressed state of mind.
Yes.
And again, with the opportunities that this administration is currently working with, I cannot do but applaud and support what they're doing for the community.
Yeah.
Because they have needs and gaps.
Amen. I'm with you, Todd. I'm sorry. I'm right up again. It's the end of this.